The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. When it was the evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark on the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Doubt, said theologian Paul Tillich, is not the opposite of faith, it is an element of faith. I've been thinking a lot about this quote as we gather in the season of Easter to hear the story once again of Thomas. You've heard it before. Perhaps you've even heard him before, Doubting Thomas. That's the nickname that he has been given, handed down throughout the centuries. Doubting Thomas, the one who needed to see Jesus' wounds with his very own eyes, the one who needed to place his fingers in the marks of the nails, the one who dared to say aloud, "Unless I see, I will not believe." I've been thinking a lot about Thomas over this past week, and I wonder if by giving him an unfair nickname that we have presumed to know his character. And by doing so, we have actually misunderstood who Thomas really is. I wonder, instead of calling him Doubting Thomas, we might instead call him Brave Thomas. Now, I know on the surface that may sound absolutely crazy, but bear with me. Let's go back to the beginning of this gospel passage. It's Easter evening. The disciples are gathered behind locked doors. Why? Because they are afraid. Afraid of the religious authorities. Afraid of what might happen to them. Afraid because everything that they had staked their lives on, Jesus, his mission, his promises, appeared to have ended in death. They're afraid, and they're hiding. All of them except Thomas. Did you catch that? John tells us, but Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. I can't help but wonder, where was Thomas? What was he doing? Why wasn't he there? Now, we don't know for sure, but maybe, just maybe, Thomas wasn't hiding. Maybe he was brave enough to go out into the world even while the others were still locked away behind closed doors. Maybe he was the only one among them who was not ruled by fear. Now let's not forget, earlier in John's gospel, when Jesus was heading back to Judea to see his dear friend Lazarus, despite the real danger at hand, Thomas is the one who said, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Not exactly words of a coward. Not words of someone who is lacking belief. Not words of someone who is lacking conviction. So perhaps what Thomas shows us today is that faith and doubt are not enemies. In fact, as Tillich reminds us, doubt is part of faith. Real faith, living, breathing, courageous faith includes our hesitations, our honest wrestling with what we cannot see or understand. Think of the other disciples for a moment. They didn't believe in the resurrection just because they were told about it. They believed because Jesus appeared to them. He showed them his wounds. He spoke peace into their fear. Thomas only asked for what the other disciples had already received. He just happened to be the one who said it out loud. And that, my dear friends, takes courage. In this moment, Thomas dares to name what he needs. He's not content at all with second-hand accounts, second-hand stories. And he's not afraid to ask for his own encounter with the risen Christ. Real experience of God. And isn't that what we all long for deep down? A personal, real experience of God? Something that we can hang on to when life gets hard? When our assumptions collapse? When our hearts break? When we feel lost and all alone? Thomas isn't refusing to believe. He's just refusing to pretend. And that might be the bravest kind of faith there is. Think about the world that we live in. The easy answers, the pious platitudes, they don't hold up very well when tragedy strikes, when illness comes, when grief tears into our lives like a storm. In those moments, what we need is not shallow certainty, but deep, honest faith. The kind that can bear doubt. The kind that can wrestle with God and still hold on. The kind that cries out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." What Thomas teaches you and me today is that Jesus meets us in that very place. A week later, Jesus comes back, not to scold, not to shame, but to show up. He offers Thomas what he needs. He says, "Put your fingers here, see my hands. Do not doubt, but believe." The risen Christ meets Thomas in his honesty, in his vulnerability, And notice there's no rebuke happening here. Only invitation. Only peace. Jesus honors Thomas's courage to ask questions, just as he honors our courage to live faithfully in that tension between faith and doubt. Because let's be honest, faith without questions is not faith, arguably. It's just agreement. It's going along with what we've been told, but true faith, resurrection faith, is forged in the fire of uncertainty, and it's grown in the soil of real life, where not everything makes sense. And God doesn't always seem near. And it's here, in this beautiful tension, that Christ comes to you and me. He comes not through locked doors of certainty, but in the midst of our questions. And he shows us his wounds, the marks of love that has endured suffering. And he breathes peace into our troubled hearts. He speaks into our fear, our longing, and our need for something real. And here's something else that we learn from Thomas. And that is, faith is not a solo journey. Notice that even though Thomas missed the first appearance, the first encounter with Christ, he's still with his disciples a week later. He didn't walk away. He stayed right there with them in community. He stayed in the room with people who believed differently than him in that very moment. And that's where Jesus met him. So often we think that we need to have the answers before we belong. But in the church, this church, our church, Christ's church, belonging comes before belief. You do not have to have it all figured out. You just have to show up. Be here. Ask questions. Bring your doubts, because Christ will meet you in that very place, right where you are, in the Word, in water, at the table. Christ will meet you wherever you are. So go ahead and lean in for a moment. You're not leaning. If you have ever felt like Thomas, if you have ever wondered, doubted, questioned, know this: you are not less faithful. You are not less than, and I can promise you, you are certainly not alone. You are, in fact, walking the same path as saints and apostles, prophets and poets, seekers and believers throughout the ages. Doubt is not a failure of faith. It is a doorway. It is the place where faith begins to stretch and grow and deepen. It is the cry of a heart that wants to encounter the living God in the here and now, not just hear about him. And that longing, that hunger, that brave honesty, Jesus honors it. He enters through the locked doors of our fear, of our doubt, and he brings peace. He shows us his wounds, And in doing so, he shows you and me the very breadth and depth of his love. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe, Jesus says. That's not a criticism of Thomas. It's a promise to you and me. A promise that even when we can't see clearly, even when we do not have proof, that Christ still comes. Faith still blooms, and resurrection still breaks through. So on this Easter day, may you be brave like Thomas. Brave enough to leave the safety of locked rooms. Brave enough to ask questions. Brave enough to seek the risen Christ. And may you find him, not only in certainty, but also in mystery. Not only in answers, but also in grace. Christ is risen indeed. Let it be so. Amen.